go on opinions and what feels good and everything else, but I'm glad we've got a firm foundation in God's Word, and I'm glad we can go to it at all times and for all points of life, and it is relevant. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 24 and go to the end of the chapter. It says this: "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?
Yeah.
So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for these words tonight, Lord, and I pray that they would come alive in our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that you'd use me to preach, Lord, that you'd help me to get out of the way, and Lord, I pray, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that that same Spirit would touch our hearts. Lord, show us where what will help us to draw closer to you, Lord, the areas we need to work on. And Lord, I ask that you'd show us, Lord, that there is a prize to be won. And Lord, we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
So he starts off, Paul is talking about athletes, and he does this several times throughout his letters. He uses these metaphors, you know, these athletic ones, and he's starting off right here in verse 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And what he's saying right here is he's saying anyone can run in the race. Anyone can sign up for it. You know, anybody, you know, a lot of races today, big ones you have to kind of qualify for, but these regular races, if you want to run a 5K, you sign up for it, and there you are. You run it. It doesn't matter if you know how to run. Doesn't matter if you've ever done it at all. You sign up, maybe pay the fee, you get your number, and there you go. You start running. But Paul's saying, I'm not interested in just being one of the many that run the race. He's saying, what about the one that receives the prize? There's only one winner of the race. That's what he's saying right there. And he's saying, since there's only one winner, so run that you may obtain. What he's telling us in real simple terms is we've got to run to win. That's what he's saying. I want you to run the race to be a winner. And here's the thing. Some people, I think, have taken this the wrong way and think that what Paul is saying is he wants each of us to compete against each other. You know, it was like that in law school. I've explained it to people that, you know, you're in a class and you'll go a whole semester of doing all this work and all this reading and all this preparation, and it boils down to 1 3-hour test. And literally, it's how you do on that one test is your entire grade for that class, the whole semester. But it's not just you versus the test. It's you versus the test versus everybody else. So if I want to get an A, I've got to beat a whole lot of people. Not just do well on it. I'd have to do better than almost all of you if we were in the same class, because they only give away so many A's. So, that's what he's saying. If that was it, then what happens is I started to notice people would start to compete against each other. And they'd start to, they act real weird. Like, I don't want to share notes. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that, because it may give them an advantage over me. Let me tell you something. Paul's not talking about that when it comes to us. We are not, there's not a ranking, and we're not trying to walk over each other to get ahead in the ministry. But what he wants us to do is he wants to look at for a minute, what does it take to be a winning athlete? What's it take to win the race? And what would they do in their sport, whether it's running or whatever, what would they do to win? And one of the things you see in the next verse: "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That word temperate, when he says temperate in all things, he's talking about self-restraint. And you think about an athlete, we know this. A lot of times they train, and they train very strictly, and they don't just eat whatever they want. A lot of times they go on strict diets and strict training times and everything else. Maybe they work this one day and work the something else another day because they know the competition is coming, whether it's a race or a contest or whatever. They know they have to train for it. And see, to me, that's easy to understand. I don't know about you. When we think about athletes, that's easy to understand. Understand, isn't it? I mean, I haven't done any sports like that, but I can understand and appreciate an athlete that dedicates themselves. You know, the biggest thing would be Olympics, right? They take 4 years and they get a one shot a lot of times to do what they've been training to do. So it takes a lot of self-control in the years leading up to that. See, we understand this in the athletic world, but what about self-restraint in Christianity today, right? He's not just talking about athletes themselves. This is a metaphor. He's saying just like athletes run a race to win, we need to do that. And here's what he's saying. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's saying, hey, there has to be some self-control. You know, this world tells us the opposite. Doesn't this world say fulfill every desire, right? Do what makes you feel good, chase your dreams and all these other things. But hey, it wouldn't work for an athlete, would it? Imagine telling an athlete, do what feels good, do what you want to do. Do you want to practice today? You don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. That's not going to work. It doesn't work for the athlete. And Paul's telling us, hey, it doesn't work for the Christian either. There's got to be some self-restraint. Remember I said the Olympic swimmer can't eat and sleep and do whatever they want. They've got to stick to those strict things and all that effort goes into that one time. Why? So they can win what it talks about in the last part of verse 25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. And in Paul's day, in the Bible times, the winner of a race, whether it's a chariot race or running or whatever, they would get this kind of this crown of leaves basically. And you think about that. If I gave you a crown of leaves off a tree, they're going to wither and turn brown and just disintegrate, right? It'll go away. It's corruptible. It's temporary. And they put all that work so that they can win a temporary corruptible crown. And Paul is trying to say, hey, if they're willing to show self-restraint just so they can get that olive leaf or whatever leaf crown on their head that'll last for a little while and a little bit of glory, why can't we show some self-restraint and some strict regimen and some of these things in our lives spiritually? It's because we are going toward a prize that isn't corruptible. It's incorruptible. The crown he gives us, moth is not going to eat it. Rust isn't going to corrupt it. Thieves aren't going to steal it away. It's forever. And he's trying to show us, hey, if they're willing to do that for something temporary, we should be willing to do it for something eternal. And it causes us to have to bring our bodies into subjection. You know what he's saying? We've got to have discipline in our Christian life. And we got to constantly be thinking towards the prize, right? That's what the athlete does. You think about the NFL as they get ready for the game at the end of the next week. They're always, what is that next game, the next opponent? What do I have to do to get ready for it and all of those things? And see, that's a short-term thing, but us in a long-term thing, we are going towards an end. There is a final finish line, and that is when we stand before Jesus Christ, and there he is, and he will judge us for what we've done and for the blessings that we've been given and the time and all of those things. That is our prize. That's the end of our race. He'll look at our faithfulness and determine what rewards we should be given. See, we've got a prize as well, an incorruptible. But you know what? The devil's okay if we're focused on running around all the time. Right? That's what sometimes happens. We do a lot of running. We do a lot of things. But he doesn't want us to be focused on the prize. He doesn't want us to focus on the fact that Jesus Christ, we will stand before him as Christians and we will be judged for our faithfulness in doing God's will. But you know, knowing that we're going to stand before Jesus should help us to show self-restraint in our lives. Sometimes we got to minimize those things that get in the way of the calling. Push aside those things that prevent us from doing God's will. Because think about this. Let me ask you this question. What is the value of an athlete that won't train, won't practice, and won't prepare? How good's an athlete? Worthless, right? If they won't do those things. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, I feel the same way about a Christian that won't keep themselves in self-restraint. They won't focus on the prize so that we can have a success. Let's keep going. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth in the air. So he's saying, listen, I'm running this race not as uncertainly. He's saying, I'm not doing this randomly. I'm not following every whim. I'm not just deciding today I'm going to do this or do that. Have you ever met people like that? They're, I'll do this for God today and I'll do this for God tomorrow. And they're just all over the place. He's saying, no, that's uncertainly. He says, no, I've got a purpose. I've got a calling. God's called for Paul. He has called me to be an apostle and a missionary and a church planter. That's what he's called. So this is how I'm running. This is what I'm doing for the Lord. But he also knew what he was up against. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. He knew that the devil wanted him to quit. He wanted him to fail. He wanted him to fall flat on his face instead of reaching the prize. So he said, listen, if I am going to do this thing, I've got to run with purpose. And I'll tell you today, I'm sure there were distractions in Paul's day, but I believe it pales in comparison to the distractions we have in today's world. There is everything to distract us constantly all day. And here's the problem. We're running this race as a Christian person, and we're doing it casually. We're doing it when we feel like it, apathetically, maybe doing it on again, off again, or whatever. Then it doesn't take much to get us off the race, right? A runner that is purposed and one that's focused on the goal and the end line, it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They are going forward, and that's what we have to do. Because I'll tell you what, you don't run with a purpose, and things will catch your eye this way and catch your eye that way, and you'll be right off the race. All these distractions. And here's the thing I'm afraid of. A lot of times we put a lot of focus on, saying there's no way I would ever renounce Jesus Christ, and that's good. But what about this? There's no way the devil will let me stop doing what God's called me to do. Right? He wants us to put things on pause all the time for the Lord. Just a little bit. Just stop for a day. You deserve this. Just stop. Just set that aside. You've been doing this a long time. That's where the devil, I believe, has been so successful. He wants all of us to do that. He wants us to stop. Maybe if he can't get us to quit, maybe just put it on pause for a little while. But Paul's talking about self-restraint in verse 25. He comes back to it in verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. How does he do that? One of the ways is the end of verse 26 that I read. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. Remember, he knew he was fighting against the devil. And we have to deal with our flesh. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what he's saying is, I'm not pulling any punches. I'm not doing any fake wrestling punch where I don't actually hit anybody. Sorry if James is listening to that. But here's the thing. He's saying, listen, when I talk about fighting against my own flesh, he's saying I'm hitting him right in the nose, right under the eye, right in the face. I am trying to knock that out. And that's what he's saying. When it comes to the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the selfish desires, or even the indifference or wanting to take a pause or anything else, Paul said, I've got to punch that out. I've got to get rid of that, just like a prize fighter that wants to knock out their opponent. He's saying, listen, I've got to keep my body under subjection, because it doesn't take much. If I let that go in my body, then I am out of the race.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Right? I don't want to be disapproved. Look what it says. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Not always when he talks about castaway, you think of someone being kind of dumped overboard or something like that, kind of Jonah style, but also that word means to be disapproved or rejected for the prize, right? Can you imagine, again, let's go back to the Olympic athlete that's trained for 4 years. They get to the stage, and just before they're getting ready to compete, they take a drug test, and they come back, and it comes back with something they're not supposed to have in their body, and they are disqualified, right? They don't get to run, they don't get to compete, or whatever they were doing. So all of that training, right up until the end, was for nothing.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I've got to keep my body in subjection, or else I could be disqualified right before the end, right before I get the prize. And he said, listen, there is nothing, nothing that's worth that. See, the Olympic athlete that does that, maybe they, in 4 more years, can try again. But for a Christian, we get one opportunity, right? One chance before we stand before the judge. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want all the blessings that God's given me, this life, the spiritual gifts, the time, the health, the influence, and all the other things that he's given to me that have been a blessing. Can you imagine if I took all my life and I just kind of, just threw it away, I didn't do these things, and then all the works go into the fire and nothing comes out on the other end? That would be the saddest thing. And it would be too late for me to go back and fix it. We get one chance. One chance. One lifetime to serve before we stand before Jesus Christ. That's why Paul also said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in Philippians 3:14. So he had just talked about a couple verses ahead. He says, listen, basically, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained perfection. And I've got to forget the past. I've got to reach forward. And then he says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he's saying, listen, I haven't arrived yet. I've not reached a state of perfection. I've got to keep walking by faith. I've got to press on. I've got to continue to grow. I've got to move forward because there's a prize. And the greatest thing is, I've already mentioned it, there is a finish line. Praise God. This race is not forever. It's not, it feels like sometimes it's never ending. It feels like we're doing a lot of work and don't get a lot of things. Doesn't look like it. We've made a whole lot of ground some days. But I'll tell you what, the prize depends on our faithfulness. When we stand before God, it's how we've responded to that calling. You know, he's given us all these things, and one day he's going to judge us. So we can ask ourselves the question, are we pressing toward the mark today? Or do we have the finish line in sight? And sometimes you got to forget things that are in the past, just like Paul, in order to run for the Lord today.
Amen.
But then he gets to this. I like this. At the end of his life, Paul shares these last thoughts with Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. Very familiar. Again, more athletic metaphors. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Earlier on, he's talking about running the race. He's talking about bringing his body into subjection. He's talking about all those things that he had to do. Now he is reaching the end, and he can say, hey, I have fought a good fight. And, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. And notice that he says, I have finished my course.
Yes.
Remember, each one of us has a different plan. God's got a different plan for our life, a different will. He's ordained us for different things. And he says, I kept the faith. He didn't waver from leaving and trusting Jesus for salvation. He never stopped preaching that gospel message to anyone that would listen. And he says, I know without a shadow of a doubt there's a crown of righteousness, not a crown of leaves that fades away, but a crown of righteousness waiting for him. And guess who's giving it to him? See, in those days, it'd be the judge, the official of the race would put the crown on their head. And he's saying, listen, I know there's a day coming because I have finished, because I've done what God's called me to do, that Jesus Christ himself will put that crown on my head. And I'm glad he didn't just stop there. He says, and not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Some days it feels like, Brother Preston, that we'll never get to the end. But I'll tell you what, every one of us will finish our course as well. And I'm glad that those that are victors, those that are overcomers, those that keep the faith, we will be victorious in the end. What a blessing to think about it. There is an end in sight. You know, I was thinking about all of this, and I was thinking, how can I apply this to my life? And I created this prayer. It's not very big, not very complex, for myself. And I was thinking, this is something I need to pray often, because I need help running the race every day. I don't know about you. Listen to this. Lord, help me put myself into subjection, so the cares of this world and my own flesh don't get in the way of the high calling that you've placed in my life. And for me, that's a pastor, a husband, and a father. There's no higher callings than that. Please help me to grow closer each day to you and finish having kept the faith and having done your will. That was my prayer. And I was thinking, we all need to run. And to do that, we got to focus on the prize. We got to show self-restraint. Press toward the mark every day and finish the course having done what God's called us to do. Amen. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And then you think about Paul. Was he even an athlete? I don't know. He seemed like more of my type, where he was learning at the feet of Gamaliel and everything else. Sounds like he had a lot of book learning and everything else. But you know, one thing I learned recently, there where he was in prison, right next to it, and probably could see out the window, but at least hear it, there was this giant arena where they would race chariots. And about 13, 15,000 people would be in there, and Romans love chariot racing. So as Paul is thinking about serving God while in prison, thinking about what to write to these churches, thinking about, and he's just like a lot of us, pastors, trying to come up with things that are relevant that the people will understand, to try to explain spiritual things. And then all of a sudden, there's the roar of the crowd out there from that prison cell. And he's thinking, you know, those chariot racers, they got to bring their body into subjection. They got to be focused, because it was very dangerous. Many of them died doing it. And they had a prize in mind. And he said, you know what? That roar, that excitement is just for that temporary crown. You know, that's what the devil's trying to get us. To trade the excitement down here, the applause down here, the fame down here. But I'd rather stand before Jesus Christ, having been victorious. Not because I'm something great, but because he's great. His spirit within me, his gifts, his grace, and not quitting. I don't know about you, church. There is a finish line. And I want to finish being able to say what Paul said. I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I've kept the faith.
Amen.
It's going to take a little self-restraint. It's going to take prayer. But I tell you what, we can do this. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.